26, and we're going to begin. Okay, on this wonderful Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. So I'm sure you're all thankful, if nothing else, for the good meal you had, and hopefully good family time and good fellowship. If you had a bad meal, sorry. Somebody put in somebody sent Stella, I guess, or they did it on the internet or the Facebook. They had a burnt turkey. And he said, we burned it. The turkey caught on fire. But the good side was it was done in 2.5 hours. So, okay, we're going to look at a principle here today, and it's a great principle because, you know, sometimes, people talk about multitasking a lot, and, you know, I don't know if it's good or bad or if it's you can really do it or not, but I do know that when you're doing something, like if you had an operation, you'd want the surgeon to be pretty focused, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want him to be multitasking. You'd want him to be doing what he's supposed to be doing. And, you know, that's a great principle in life, is to have focus and not be distracted by things when you're doing stuff. You know, if you're distracted when you're driving a lot of times, what happens? You have accidents. That's why they say don't text and drive. But even talking on the phone or, you know, looking at the scenery, which my wife yells at me about sometimes, can be dangerous. I think of this in terms, and I'm going to relate this to you in terms of sports, athletics, because one of the great keys in most athletic endeavors, and it can be stated two ways. One way is keep your eye on the ball. I play golf, and you know one of the things they tell you is keep your eye on the ball when you hit it. See the club head, see the club hit the ball, which you would think, well, that's not very difficult. Yes, it is, because the tendency is to look up to see where you hit it. And you really want to keep your head down. You should keep your head down until you hit and through, and then look up after. And it's a hard habit to break looking up. You know, but you want to keep your head down and your eye on the ball. When you do that, you hit the ball better. In baseball, batters are told to keep their eye on the ball, and you're supposed to see the bat hit the ball. And if you ever watch in a super slow-mo on TV, the good hitters, their head is down and their eyes are right where that bat makes impact with the ball. And the not-so-good hitters don't always do that, you see? You could say it another way, keep your eye on the target. You know, if you're a quarterback and you're throwing the pass, you got to keep your eye on the target. Or if you're a pitcher, you would keep your eye on the target. But it's the same principle, isn't it? It's keeping your eye on something. It's keeping your focus. And that's in a physical sense. In a mental and spiritual sense, we're to keep our eyes on God. You know, we need to keep our eyes on God. And, you know, you say, keep your eye on the ball. Well, it doesn't mean eye. It means your eyes, right? Your concentration, your focus. It's a simple maxim. It's a very simple thing to understand. But to do it consistently and correctly, it takes practice. It takes mental discipline. I want you to look at Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And this is Paul describing his conversion on the road to Damascus. And verse 18 is Jesus Christ giving him his commission, telling him what he is called to do. It says, and he says, well, verse 17 says, delivering thee from the people, the Israel, the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Jesus Christ was going to deliver him from, he's being persecuted, sent to prison by the Jews. They wanted to kill him. He got arrested in Jerusalem. He went to Rome, and he needed deliverance from the Gentiles, the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor. And he says, and I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith or believing that is in me, in Jesus Christ. So his commission, his job was to go to the Gentiles and turn their eyes from darkness to light, which we know darkness is the world and light is what? God and his word, right? God is light. In him is no darkness at all. From the power of Satan unto God. Satan has a lot to do with the world and he controls a lot in the world. And so that's what Paul was to do. He's turned their eyes from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God. Remember in Thessalonians, it says, verse 1:9, I think, he says, you know, you've turned from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what he did, right? He turned them from worshiping idols to serve the living and true God. And that they may receive, lambano, forgiveness of sins, and inheritance. They might receive an inheritance. And we are saints. And one of the things it says in Ephesians is that we can know, open the eyes of our understanding, that we may know what is the riches of the glory of this inheritance in the saints. And to them which are sanctified by believing, those that are born again by believing, that is in me, that is in Jesus Christ. So God's desire is to have all men to be saved, says that in Timothy, and to come to a knowledge of the truth, and for them to stand and walk with him and for him. He wants your eyes to turn from Satan unto God. God wants that, but and from darkness unto light. But then he wants you to keep your eyes where? On the light. He doesn't want you to turn back to the darkness. He even describes that in different places. It's not really pleasant when you turn back to the world. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. So it says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, children are not known for their stability of mind and thought, are they? I just have my grand boys here with me for 2 days. And, you know, they go from one thing to the next. It's like, it changes dramatically. You know, 1 minute they're crying and yelling, and the next minute they're as happy as can be. You know, 1 minute they're obedient, the next minute they're running into walls. You know, it changes from minute to minute almost. So God says that we be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, how many times do people get changed, that, you know, people are always looking for something new, something different, something that's going to make a difference. You know what? Getting a solid understanding of God's word, knowing the basic principles of what God says to us and applying them in your life and sticking to it is what you need. And basically, if you've sat through Powerful About Living or Walking in God's Power, if you come to fellowship for more than 6 months, you know, there's not too much more new you're going to know other than, you know, technical stuff. But the basics of how to live life, of how to receive from God, how to walk with God, how to pray, is all there. You know, he's given us, well, it talks about it in this part of the Word of God. It's, you know, one God and Father who's above all and through all and in you all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, all that stuff, you know. It's what there is. There ain't no more. Nobody knows when Christ is coming back. And people that say they do are full of baloney. You know, Jesus Christ explained how you get healed. You believe. And there's nothing more to it than that. You believe. And it says that we're to pray for the sick. And there you go. There's nothing more than that. Anybody that says they have a new insight is full of baloney. Somebody may have a real strong ability to walk with God and minister healing, and God bless them. But as far as insight into the Word, it's all there. You've all read it. How to receive from God. Know what's available. How to receive it. Believe. What to do with it after you got it. Knowing that God's ability is equal to His willingness. And knowing wants and needs parallel. That's it. That's the whole Megillah right there. You just have to decide to do it. Okay, where was I? So we're not to be tossed to and fro like little kids with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, the used car salesman of the world. But, in contrast, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. God wants us to grow up. He wants us to grow up. Be men and women of God. Not blown about by every wind of doctrine. Not tossed to and fro by emotions and everything else. But, you know, just walk with God. Keep your eyes focused on God. Stay locked into God. Verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk worthy of the vocation. The vocation wherewith we are called is that we're sons of God. So how do we walk worthy? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. You know, one of the great duties and responsibilities of a minister is to keep reminding you of what God says. Be a nag for God. I don't know a better way to say it. But, you know, that's what it says in Timothy. You know, remind people of what I've taught you. Chapter 2, verse 5. It says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying, beholding your order and steadfast and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. See, that's the joy that God has. That's the joy that a minister has, that people are steadfast in their believing in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. To walk in him. To walk in Christ. Rooted and built up in him. If you're rooted and you're built up in Christ, are you going to be tossed to and fro like a child? No. You're going to stand fast on what you know to be the truth and what you know to be right and what you know to be wrong. Sometimes people do stuff and you go, come on, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know, my kids, when they grew up and, you know, sometimes they get in trouble, I say, come on, you know better than that. Don't give me this baloney. You know better. We know better. You just stick to it. Sometimes it may not feel good. Well, sorry. You know, getting a shot doesn't necessarily feel good either, but sometimes you need it, right? That's the way it is. Sometimes, you know, God wants you to speak the word to somebody and you look at the person and you go, oh, not them. Well, so what? You know, God wants you to put a smile on your face even though you don't feel like putting a smile on your face. Why not? It's easier to smile than to frown. It takes more muscles. Rooted and built up in him, in Christ, and established, strong in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And that's where you abound, in thanksgiving. When you're thankful, thanksgiving is thanksgiving. And that's the old saying. Thanksgiving is thanksgiving. So how do we stand? How do we walk? How do we become established in the Word? First and foremost, we have to keep our eyes on what we know. We have to keep our focus on God and His Word. You know, obviously, the world is going to throw a lot of stuff at us. We read that, you know, that the world's out there trying to deceive us. Trying to talk us out of God, talk us out of the promises of God. And so it's up to us not to get tricked. It's up to us not to be lulled to sleep or lulled into a sense of false security. It's up to us not to let our minds be distracted from the truth of God's word. You watch TV for an hour, you're going to be distracted from the promises of God's word, probably. It's going to challenge you. Watch the stupid movie last night. I'll just give you a quick. My wife, she didn't feel good, so she had the women's shell on because, you know, she wanted to watch a movie. So she watched Tom Hanks and Sleepless in Seattle, you know, sweet, innocent movie. Except she's sleeping with a guy she's engaged to, living with him, and she doesn't really love him. And so then she's looking for this other guy, and she's lying. So how sweet and innocent is it really? What's it putting into somebody's brain? A lie. It sounds innocent. It's cute. You know, who could dislike Meg Ryan? You'd think, well, you know, she's just perfect. Perky and blue-eyed, blonde hair, you know. The picture of innocence. Except she's not innocent. She's being immoral, dishonest, lying. I mean, a lot of things wrong, you know. And then, on top of it, there's this whole thing about signs. You know, well, this is a sign that you got to do this, and this is a sign that you got to do that. You know, and then in between they had a commercial for Psychics of California. Yeah. Don't be distracted by the promises of God. Don't be carried away. Let's go to Isaiah. So we're going to look at a little bit on how to stay focused on God. Isaiah 26. You're all familiar with this verse. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And that's a figure of speech. The word perfect is peaceful. Thou wilt keep him in peaceful peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, keep your mind stayed on God. What does that mean, stayed? It means you're not jumping around. You're not distracted. You're not lulled away or tricked away or carried away by other thoughts and other things. You keep your mind focused on what God says. So every time that you're confronted with a challenge or a crisis, or even when things are going good, you know, God's got to be there. You know, when you're confronted with a crisis, what's your first thought? Oh my God, the world's coming to an end. Or, okay, God's got the answer for this. God's a God of deliverance. God's a God of love. God's a God of mercy. All these things. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, peacefully peaceful, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When you trust, that means you are committed to it. You know, you trust the bank with your money, don't you, if you have a bank account? Some banks are called such and such trust company. You know, why do they put that in there? Because they want you to trust them, even though they're investing in, what do they call it? What were those stupid things? Huh? Derivatives. Yeah. Okay. We don't want to get into that discussion. Then it says in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord. That's Jehovah. Forever. How long?
Forever.
Is God going to run out of gas? No. Is God going to go on vacation? No. Is God going to retire? No. You know, forever. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. Forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, I think that's Jehovah Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. Our strength is not in our abilities. Our strength is not in our brains. Our strength is not in our muscles. It's not in mine, that's for sure, because mine are getting weaker. Our strength is in the Lord, in God, in Jehovah. Let's go to chapter 40. Chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 28. There's a lot of great things in Isaiah and Jeremiah concerning God and looking to God and trusting in God, because Isaiah and Jeremiah were sent to Israel because Israel was screwed up. So they had to keep reminding them and nagging them about turning back to God. That's why these verses are kind of there. Isaiah, what did I say, 40? 28, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Those are two good questions. That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I told you he wouldn't quit or retire or go to sleep. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Isn't that cool? You know, if you're faint, if you're weak, God will strengthen you. You know, and your strength is knowing that God will come through for you, knowing that what he promises, he'll bring to pass. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth the strength. Even the youths, even the youths, my Brooklynese is coming out, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall man up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, that's a great thing that God puts out there for us. They that wait upon the Lord. You know, think about Elijah. You know, he had to confront Ahab, the king Ahab. And he said, it's not going to rain for 2 years and 6 months. And that kind of upset the king. And so God had to hide him. So he said, go over by this brook, this stream, and I'll take care of you. Go hide there in a cave. So he goes there and he's hiding and he drinks the water from the stream. And then the ravens bring him meat every day. Wow. You think that Elijah sometimes got a little concerned if the ravens weren't there exactly at 12 o'clock? If he had a watch? You know, but he had to keep his mind fixed on God. And then the brook ran dry, and the ravens stopped showing up. So then God said, okay, now I want you to go to this place. And he gets to that place, and there's a widow woman, and she's about to make her last meal because she's starving and dying. And he says, give me some. That's a lot of nerve. And she says, okay. And then her supply in her bowl, in her jar, never runs out. How did God do that? I don't know. I don't really care. He did it. You know, but it would have been easy for him to get weak in his mind, wouldn't it? It would have been easy for him to just give up or be distracted or try to figure it out himself. You know, we run into all those things. But he didn't. He kept his eyes focused on the promise of God. He kept looking to God for his deliverance. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. There's not a lot of new and unusual or strange verses here. I'm sure you're familiar with most of these verses, but you know, it's great to realize that God, these simple verses are the truth. You know, somebody prayed today that God's word is easy to be understood, that it's plain and clear. And God, you know, he just said that there in Isaiah, but he says it many places. You know, I spoke to you clearly. It's easy. You know, if you're God and you want people to understand, are you going to make it difficult or are you going to make it clear and simple? He said in Romans that the things of God are obvious and no man has an excuse. No man has an excuse. It's obvious that there's a God. Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. sought the Lord, you know, went to God. Have a fear about something? Where should you go? God, not Ghostbusters. God. You know, that's almost a dated reference already, isn't it? He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth about round about them that fear him, respect, or in awe of him, of God, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, we pass the abundance sharing basket around. You know, if you trust in God, you give, because what does God say? If you give, he's going to bless you back. That's trusting God, isn't it? I guess you could probably take $10 and flush it down the toilet and say, I'm giving this to you, God. It might probably work just as well. You know, if you're giving it to God, you give it to God. Right? I'm thankful when you give here, though, because that helps us continue to teach. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, anytime I buy a car, and I haven't bought a new car since 74, I bought a Volkswagen Beetle, which is probably worth 10 times what I paid for it. But every time I buy a car, I always dedicate it to God. I pray for it, and I say, okay, God, I'm going to use this car so I can go out and teach and bless people and help people. That's what my life is all about. So you got to bless this car. You know, my cars last. I don't know how God does it or what he does. I mean, I maintain them. I change the oil. I put gas in them. I make sure the tires are good. I get the brakes done and all that stuff. But they last. And they last, I really believe, because they're dedicated to God. I pray for my house every day. I say, you know, God, this is a house that's dedicated to serving you. So help us make good decisions. I ask for his hedge of protection around it, because this house is for God's use. 1 Peter. God should be involved in everything in life. It's not just a Sunday morning, Tuesday night, you know, whatever time you go to a fellowship, or, you know, God should be involved in every aspect of life. He's an all-purpose God. He's not just for disasters and crises. Chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's a pretty cool thing. Yep. He has begotten us unto a lively hope. A lively hope is a living hope. Our hope is a living hope. We have the hope of eternal life, and it's gotten us, or he got it for us, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. An incorruptible inheritance. You know what a corruptible inheritance is? When my mother fell asleep, I inherited, you know, $40,000, $50,000. It's all gone. It's all gone because I had kids go to school and other stuff. You know, that corrupted. It's history. It was cool when I got it, and it was gone in the blink of an eye. But the inheritance from God is incorruptible. Pretty cool. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through believing unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, we're kept by the power of God through believing unto salvation, unto deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that your trial of believing, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God's saying, you know, you're going to go through stuff in life. You just keep looking to me, but it's going to pay off in the end. He's going to deliver us now, and he'll keep delivering. But, you know, eventually, if Christ doesn't come back, we're going to fall asleep. But that doesn't matter, because we're going to rise up at the return, and we're going to have everlasting life. We're going to live forever. What a cool thing. Pretty amazing. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love. Any of you seen Jesus Christ? Me neither. And whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your believing, even the salvation of your souls. You know, God blesses us. God takes care of us. He gets us out of all kinds of stuff. But in the end, it's the salvation of our souls, of our lives, that we have more than anything else. We have eternal life, which is a great thing. You know, when you're young, you think, wow, man, I'm impregnable. I'm like Superman. I'm never going to grow old. And I used to think, man, I'm going to stay in great shape. And it's not so easy at all. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Back a few pages. James, Hebrews chapter 12. So, you know, we're going to stay our minds. We're going to look to God. God is our second wind. You ever work and you get tired out and then you get a second wind? God's our second wind. And our third wind. And our fourth wind. And our first wind. He's our strength. You got to look to him. You got to keep your mind stayed on God. Chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It's talking about all those great believers in chapter 11 of Hebrews. That's a great cloud of witnesses. They're great cloud of witnesses. It's great examples of believing, of staying put on God. You know, one of them is Abraham. How long did he keep his eyes focused on the promise of God? 25, 35 years until the promise of having a son came to pass? He never saw the promised land as belonging to his family, as God promised. You know, he had parts of it. He lived in parts of it. Traveled through it here and there and everywhere, but he never took total possession of it. But it was promised to him and his seed forever. But he was, you know, one of those examples of great believing. Moses was a great example of believing. David. And on and on and on. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, a great group of examples, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And you know, you ever watch, everybody watches the Olympics at some time or another, and they do the different races. And you know, you have the short sprints. And, you know, one of the things about the sprints is you keep your eyes focused on the ribbon right there, right? And it's over in 10 seconds, so there's not a lot of distraction. And if you're distracted for just an instant, you're lost. You're done. But then you get to the distance races, like a mile or, you know, the metric mile, whatever, 1,500 meters. Or you get to the marathon or the steeplechase. And those races, you know, go on and on and on. And those guys got to stay focused. You know, they can't be beset by other things. They can't get distracted, because if they do, they're going to trip and fall or get hurt, or they're going to, you know, not control their breathing, and then they're going to get out of rhythm. And that's a big deal when you're running. Right, Beth? It is. Yeah, she knows. You know, you got to focus on what you're doing. And that's what he's saying here, because we're not in a sprint, are we? We're in a lifelong race. Yeah, we're in this for the long haul. So it says, let us lay aside every weight, all the stuff that holds you back. You know, what holds you back? Get rid of it. You know, your worries, your fears, things that people did to you in the past, you know, whoever hurt your feelings or insult, forget about it. Pray for them and forget about it. Give it to God. Let go of it. You know, mistakes that you made, forget about it. God did. You're supposed to look forward, not backwards. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, you're going to sin, but don't let it derail you, because there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, is there? So, okay, you sin, say, okay, God, sorry, I'm moving on. And forget about it. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're to run the race that is set before us. You know, looking to where? To God. You're looking forward to God, living for God, doing your best for God. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, the prince and leader of our believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, look at the reward he got. Yeah. And we're going to be there with him. It says at the gathering together, we're going to be ever with the Lord, meaning Jesus Christ. So, put all the other crap behind you and focus on the race that is set before you, which is to live for God. All the other stuff is junk. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, don't get faint in your minds. Don't get wearied. Look to God. He will increase your strength. He will invigorate you. He is your first, second, third, and fourth wind. He is the guy that will take you through. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Probably going too long here. I got about 38 more verses. And that's just the introduction. Chapter 2 of Titus. Titus is a Greek name. Or a Roman name. I don't know if Titus, where he was from. But anyway. Titus, he was one of the guys that Paul taught to be a leader in the church. It says in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That refers to Jesus Christ. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Jesus Christ, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're looking to God. We're keeping the promises of God in our mind and in our heart, keeping our eye focused on God, and we're anticipating, looking for the return of Christ. Pretty cool. It's a good way to live. It's a nice way to live. And we're to be thankful. We abound in the thanksgiving of all that God has done for us. Just be thankful. I don't care what your situation is, what your circumstances are, you know, what you're going through. God says you can be thankful. So who's right, you or him? I think he is. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. It means pay attention. You know, we're to pay attention to God's words. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That means you guard your heart. The word keep is guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, with, you know, you pay attention. Everything gives off something. Everything affects us in some way or another. So You know, the movies we watch, the TV we watch, the books we read, the people we hang out with, the music we listen to, all affects us. All of it affects us some way. So God says, keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful about what you're letting in. Because some of it is just not good for you, like that stupid movie last night. Not good for you. Although, I watched it because when I started watching it and being critical, I said, I can use this in a teaching. Okay. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. You know, the heart is the center of our life, the core of our being, the innermost part of our mind. And it's out of that that are the issues of life. That's where we believe. That's where we believe God. That's where we fear. You know, and so we need to take care of it. Guard it. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. You know, just don't babble off at the mouth. Be careful about what you say. You know why you need to be careful about what you say? Because not only do other people hear it, but you hear it. It goes right back into your ears. So you're reinforcing the stupidity that you're issuing forth. Now, if you issue forth intelligent good stuff, that reinforces the intelligent good stuff, like the will of God, the word of God, the promises of God. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on God. Don't be distracted. Don't go to the left, to the right, all that stuff. Ponder the path of thy feet. You know, be careful where you step. And let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, God's saying, you know, just walk straight ahead. Follow the path that I've given you. Stay on that path. Don't deviate from it. Okay, and let's just go to Psalm 112. We'll end it up here. I had other verses, but if you want to look at it, look at 2 Corinthians 4:15 through 18. That's a good verse. Psalm 19 is another good one. But we're going to go to Psalm 112, verse 5. It says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion, with care. You know, he won't just be lazy and sloppy in what he does. He'll guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Everlasting remembrance of what? Of God. Of how God has blessed them and take care of them. You know, you have stuff. You have money. You have clothes. You have possessions. You have a car. You have a house. Who does it really belong to? God. God's the one that gives us the air we breathe, the food we eat. It's real, you know, you really got to think about it sometimes. And when you think about it, you go, wow, I should be more careful with this stuff. Because it all belongs to God. Because of him that I have anything. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed. It's not moved. It's fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, I'm a farmer and I plant seed. My heart is fixed. God's going to give the increase. He's going to bring the rain. He's going to bring the sun. You know, my heart is fixed. I'm not worried about droughts. I'm not worried about floods. I'm not worried about beetles. I'm not worried about animals. I'm not worried about these things. My heart is fixed. You know, I go to work. I'm not worried about the banking system collapsing. I'm not worried about the government. I'm not worried. My heart is fixed on God. He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that takes care of me, not the world. The world doesn't take care of me. The world's just there, you know. How I deal with the world is up to me. And the way I deal with the world is I trust in God. My heart is fixed on God. My eyes are set on God. I keep my eye on the ball, on God. God's not a ball, but it communicates to me. You know, you got to stay focused on what he says. You got to stay focused on him. He shall not be afraid. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Let's go to Psalm 57. And we'll close it up there. I could have taught this for 3 hours. There's so much cool stuff. Chapter 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Now, his mind is, you know, it's not just the fleeting thoughts of his mind, is it? But it's his heart, where he believes. His heart is fixed on God. You know, it's the innermost part of your being. You know, the word permeates your heart. It sinks down. You know, you got to put it there. It just doesn't go there. You got to put it there. You got to hold it there. You got to keep it there. You keep your mind stayed. You don't get distracted. You don't get tricked. You don't get led away. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise the Lord among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Amen. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us so much. And we just thank you that we can stay our mind on you, that we can stay focused, that we can be we can get better at it. We can practice and work at keeping our mind stayed on you, on the promises that you've given us. And when we're confronted with things, when we have distractions or we have things that are going to throw us off the track, that we just grab hold and look to you and have that word in our minds, and that we go to prayer and that we just stick to it. And that you can teach us and show us how to be better at this day by day. That we can make a conscious effort to keep you in mind and stay focused upon you and your promises and your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he accomplished. So we thank you for these things, God. We just thank you so much for what a great and mighty God you are. How you've loved us and blessed us and watched over us and taken care of us. How you have allowed us to live in such a wonderful time in the world and in such a wonderful country. And how we have such freedom and such riches and blessings, and that we have every reason to be thankful and blessed in our lives today. And so that we can just be thrilled to speak your word and glorify you and go out and tell people what a great and mighty God you are and what a wonderful, loving, tender Father you are to each and every one of us. So we thank you for these things. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he did for us, that great example of how he stayed his ground and kept focus on you no matter what he went through, and how we have that example and how we have Christ in us so we have the ability to do it. We just thank you, God, for all you've done for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.